of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Back in the days of my childhood, one of my favorite TV shows that I watched with my parents was on Sunday evening, and the name of the show was The FBI. The series was broadcast on ABC from 1965 until 1974, starring Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., Philip Abbott, and William F. Reynolds. The series, consisting of 9 seasons and 241 episodes, chronicles a group of FBI agents trying to defend the U.S. government from unidentified threats. At the conclusion of each episode, it showed a real most wanted criminal and a picture of that criminal with a brief description of the crime he committed. I can still remember seeing mugshots of the FBI most wanted in post offices. I don't know if they still do that, but they do. See how much I look around? A visual of what the person looks like is so important to the public. Properly identifying a suspect, even more than a visual description of what someone might look like. You might describe me as a white male, 5'9", with silver hair. Well, so what? There's thousands, if not millions, of people that fit that description. You see my picture? There's only one Cedric hanging around. Well, this morning from Proverbs 6, we have a brief description of the wicked. Unlike a most wanted poster, the description of the wicked is not describing one person, but a whole group of people who fit this moral description. So my first point is the description of the wicked person's character and behavior. As I delve into this point, I will be going into some detail about the wicked person's character and behavior. But a word of encouragement from the beginning is that an incident or a day does not make a pattern of behavior. And even if you have a pattern of behavior mentioned in this chapter, this is what God's gift of repentance is all about, His gracious gift of repentance. More about that in my sermon later. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12 says this: a worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth. The phrase "a worthless person" is taken from the Greek and Hebrew word Belial, which always implies wickedness and worthlessness. Eventually, in the New Testament, the Greek rendering of that word explicitly became a name for the devil, who is the father of all such qualities. He is the prince of being worthless and wicked. In this regard, 2 Corinthians 6:15 says this: or what harmony hath Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? If we look further in our text, Proverbs 6, 13 and 14, we see that the wicked person commits his whole body to doing that which is evil. We've already seen the wicked using his mouth to cause trouble. We see further that he winks with his eye, he signals with his feet, he points with his finger. I'm not going to point on that one. And his heart continually devises evil. And so the members of his body are in sync. They are in harmony to do that which is wrong and sinful. In particular, the wicked is depicted here as a deceptive individual who does not speak plainly or openly, but he makes veiled suggestions and signs that sow seeds of distrust and division. He secretly makes hints at his discord, but it is enough to cause people to know where he is going with his signs. The people he is talking with and signaling to get the drift about what he is up to. Of course, the issue then becomes that the people seeing and hearing what he is doing and causing division are all too ready to hear the juicy details. Have you heard? And they certainly do have at times curious minds and itching ears. Yeah, what is it? They're all too ready to hear and to eat up the local gossip of the day. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 goes further in this description. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. These verses, beginning in Proverbs 6:16, are the first of these numerical sayings. The form of these sayings suggests a kind of riddle with an answer provided. Six things, yes, even seven, that the Lord hates. Wisdom literature in the Old Testament often lists both sinful vices and virtues together that are perceived as having something in common. The question remains, how do the sinful vices listed in Proverbs 6, 7 through 19 relate to each other? When we go over the list of sins, we can make these general observations. One of them is an attitude, the haughty eyes. One, a thought, a heart that devises wicked plans. Three relate to speech, a lying tongue, which can be either private conversation or more public talk, a false witness, which is official testimony in a court of law, and one who spreads strife among brothers. And two of actions, hands that shed innocent blood and feet that run rapidly to evil. With the appeal from Jehovah God, this list highlights the indictment of those who cause mischief, because the crowning sin is the one who sows discord, who spreads strife, which mirrors the words of Proverbs 6:14, who with perversity in his heart continually devises evil, who spreads strife. All these sins are built upon a person who is dominated by selfish pride. He is only looking out for himself, and his basic viewpoint rules out reverence for God and contributes to the detriment of his fellow man. He cares only for himself, and that is why he uses his mouth and his words as arrows, hurting the reputation and the well-being of others. He lies, deceives, and brings about social chaos in his relationships. His heart also devises evil, and his feet head in the direction of doing wrong. In fact, in being violent towards others, shedding their blood. His whole orientation is bent in the direction against God and his written revelation. And so he does not love God. In fact, he hates God, and he hates his fellow men. This brings us to my second point, which is the description of the wicked person's destiny. Proverbs 6:15 says this: "Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly, he will be broken, and there will be no healing. The Reformation Study Bible has these helpful comments. Quote, such people in time bring destruction upon themselves. The Old Testament reveals that God will ultimately punish the wicked and reward the righteous. But it does not present a fully developed doctrine of punishment in the afterlife. The prosperity of the wicked was a continuing problem in Psalm 73, but the New Testament clearly indicates that the righteous judgment of God falls on the wicked, whether in this life or in the next, end of quote. This is a very good summary to keep in mind as we hear the words of Proverbs 6:15, that calamity will come upon the wicked suddenly. Even if you take into account that the writer is expressing a general truth, a person could still ask, yeah, but when in this life does this happen? For far too many of the wicked get away with their sin. They literally get away with murder without ever being held accountable. The answer could be they're not always caught in their sin in this life, not outwardly. But we have to remember that that only concerns this life, getting away with murder. If the wicked are not visibly punished in this life, they certainly will be punished in the afterlife. What was less clear in the Old Testament about the punishment of the wicked becomes clearer in the light of New Testament teaching. It should also be noted, with the light of the New Testament teaching, that this does not take away from the fact that sometimes the wicked are punished in this life, at least partially. If we drill just a bit more into this verse, it is teaching us that there is more to it than punishment being sudden. For Solomon also informs us that this brokenness resulting from judgment will not be healed. This is what makes me think that Solomon is addressing the final judgment. Otherwise, a person who did repent of his evil, his soul would be healed as his sins are forgiven. But instead, the text speaks of the wicked who remain in their wickedness, who choose not to repent, and therefore they are not healed of their spiritual infirmity because they refuse the help that God gives us. They choose to follow sinful foolishness and wickedness permanently. They choose to hurt others rather than to help them. Someone in this state of heart and mind is never ready to die because their relationship with God and others is broken. It doesn't matter whether this person dies 30 days from now or 30 years from now. Calamity will come upon them suddenly, and there will be no healing for their heart and soul. Derek Kidner makes this helpful comment, summing up the character and the destiny of the wicked. Quote, with a hint here and a wink or gesture there, the troublemaker can sow discord at will until God's hour strikes for him. End of quote. Solomon, led by the Holy Spirit, writes down these proverbs and these wise sayings to warn us of the folly of sin, so that the wise reader of these words catches the description of the wicked, having haughty eyes and shifty talk, and may wonder when his own hands were last employed to an innocent person's detriment. This book calls upon the righteous wise to hear its message and to repent of sinful pride, and instead of having haughty eyes, to have humble eyes. a truthful mouth which bears witness in truth and accurately about his neighbor, and whose feet rush to do good and helpful things to those around him. God wants us to reflect on, to think about what is wise, godly, and appropriate in a situation, and then be committed to walk before the Lord in light of his holiness, revering him and being obedient to his moral will. The foundation of repentance requires both humility and honesty. It requires humility because Scripture teaches us the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so, in order to have repentance, we must be humble in our state and condition before God. But we also must be honest. And that's pivoting from the general humility to very specifically self-diagnosing our souls in light of Holy Scripture. Where am I falling short of God's will for my life today? Taking time to diagnose the state of your soul today. Where have I become impatient? Where have I lost control of my mouth and my mind so that I dwell or say on those things which are not true and honorable and helpful to another person? God wants us to grow deeper in wisdom, prudence, and knowledge so that we continue in the straight path of God's commandments and not veer to the right or to the left. May we learn from this description of the wicked so that we are not trapped by the cunning and deceitfulness of sin, but rather grow in the wisdom and knowledge of Christ our God and Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to follow after your godliness and holiness with such intensity that we may love what you love and hate what you hate. Give to us a single-hearted love and devotion to you. Have mercy on us when we stray from your ways and moral will, but help us also to get back on the pathway of holiness, that we may serve you with righteousness and true holiness all the days of our life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.